read the whole chapter for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Trust that you've been walking with the Lord this week. We read in the scriptures how Noah walked with God and how Enoch walked with God. And I wonder, have I been walking with the Lord this week? Have you been walking with the Lord this week? Mini mino le hudado gersayua de nuinya ya. Have you been walking with the Lord this week? I want to read this chapter for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1, first of all, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that, such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we have come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labours, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, once again able to read it in this public way. And Lord, we're thankful for the singing, and Lord, it does stir our hearts. And Lord, we trust it has brought some pleasure to you this morning, Lord, as we've lifted our voice up. And Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us now as we look into your word together, Lord. May it be that, Lord, your will be accomplished. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul is obviously writing here of a situation where those had been critical of him, and they were casting doubts upon his authority and all those kind of things. And he makes this statement in verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And I want us just to think about that verse this morning a little bit. Comparing themselves among themselves, Paul says they're not wise. That's what they do. They compare themselves among themselves, and obviously in so doing they come up with some good answers, if I can put it that way. But I wonder for you and I, and let's get right down to it, I wonder for you and I, how often do we either consciously or unconsciously measure ourselves against others? How often do we look at another believer and we consciously or unconsciously give ourselves a tick or a pat on the back or whatever? And whether we like to admit it or not, we're probably all guilty of it, at least occasionally. It's interesting, when I go down to the prison on Monday night, from time to time this thought comes up. You hear some of the prisoners, they'll say, it's amazing, you know, some of these fellows here in prison, they point at others and say, what trash, what rubbish they are. These same men are in prison. They're not there because they've been good fellows. But they have this mentality, which I believe that Paul's speaking of here, where they measure themselves by themselves. And they look at this fellow over here, and maybe he's in prison because he's murdered someone, and he's only in here because of some minor traffic offence or whatever, or drunk driving. And so he looks at that person and says, I'm thankful I'm not like him. But that same murderer looks at a pedophile and says, they are just scum, and I'm glad I'm not like that. Now, I'm not saying as believers we have quite that vehement approach, but I fear too often we do measure ourselves among ourselves. Now, that can be very dangerous. Paul obviously wasn't complimenting them for that. He wasn't saying, well, that is marvellous. That was such a good thing to do. No, he wasn't doing any of that, was he? He was actually putting that down there as something that wasn't to be commended or something that was to be followed. Now, having said that, yes, we can and we ought to be able to compare ourselves in the sense of, we know a brother who maybe prays 3 hours a day, and we look at that and we say, Lord, help me to be like him so that I can pray at least 5 minutes a day, if not 3 hours a day. But too often we're the other way around. I'm praying 3 hours a day and I look at the person who prays only 5 minutes a day and I'm critical of them. You see, there's the problem. Comparing themselves, measuring themselves by themselves, they're not wise. We are to measure ourselves against the Word of God, and in particular the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus. Amen. He is the standard, if I can use that word very carefully. It's the Lord Jesus to whom we are being conformed into his image. That's God's plan for every believer. We know Paul said all things work together for good in Romans chapter 8, 28. Why? Because God has this plan for every believer to make us into the image, make us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And so if you want to make any comparisons, before you make any comparisons on this level, measuring yourselves among yourselves, and I'm speaking to myself now, then we need to make sure we first of all measured ourselves against the Lord Jesus. Amen. Make sure that we've looked at his purity and then checked our purity. Make sure we look at his prayer life and then look at our prayer life. Make sure we look at his knowledge of the scriptures and then compare it with ours. And so on, we could go on. And so we understand we are to measure ourselves against the Word of God and the living Word, the Lord Jesus. But I want to suggest to you, and this is really the thrust of the message this morning. Paul says it's not wise, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. And let me suggest to you, here's one of the reasons at least why they're not wise. Because it fosters pride. It encourages pride in a believer's heart. I believe that's one of the major problems, by comparing ourselves among ourselves, measuring ourselves among ourselves. And I can't prove it, and I've maybe said this before or something like this, I would suggest to you that one of the biggest sins in the Bible mentioned by God is pride. Because pride says, I'm God. That's what pride says. Pride says, I will make the decisions I want to make. I will live how I want to live. That's pride pushed to its limit. Pride, it's a big sin. And I'm not spiritual just because I live up to my standards. That doesn't make me spiritual. But so often I think I'm spiritual because of that. I have certain things I do, certain things I don't do. And especially when I measure that with someone else. I mean, I could look around here today and say, you know, have you got a television? Oh, you have. Oh, I don't have one. Obviously, I'm a little more spiritual than you are. No, that doesn't prove I'm more spiritual. I could be more carnal than all of you. Just owning a television doesn't make me spiritual. But you understand what I'm saying? We can get our little standards up there and we can draw our little list up and we think we're someone when we're really no one. And so what's happening? Pride is residing. Now I want us to look at the Pharisees and then look at another passage after that. Because the Pharisees are a classic example of pride. So we'll start looking at them in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And the Bible says there in verse 9 of Luke chapter 18, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he spake this parable unto certain, notice what it says, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Who's he talking about? We'll find out when we read the next couple of verses. Here's the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, which was the one that thought they were righteous and despised others? It's not hard to work out, is it? Especially when we read the next verse. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. How good am I? What's that called? Pride. Pride. Not only that, the Pharisees would do that out in public. They would gather a crowd and do all those things. Pride. And what's he doing? He's comparing himself with the publican. And he looks at the publican and says, I thank God that I'm not as other men are, even as this publican. Now, I could illustrate that again. I could stand up here this morning and say, I thank God that I don't have a TV like everybody else. Pat on the back. I'm trying to illustrate, drive home the point. Pride. The Pharisees were proud. They were arrogant. The Lord Jesus had nothing good to say about the Pharisees. You try Matthew chapter 23. And he kept saying, hypocrites, 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 vipers, full of dead men's bones. And yet they're strutting around. I thank God I'm not like all these other men are. The extortioners. And these adulterers. And these terrible publicans. It's one they didn't trip over every now and then with their nose so far up in the air. Nothing good about them. Pride. They were making comparisons. They were comparing themselves with the publicans. Have a look in Mark chapter 2. Remember, we're just looking at the Pharisees here and their whole attitude, the pride in their hearts, the way it was seen. in verse 16 of Mark chapter 2. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Can you believe that? Isn't that terrible? If he were half spiritual, he would know you don't eat with them. They are sinners, and we're not like them. We're very spiritual. We're very righteous. Thank God I'm not like them. See the pride there? And there's the danger, as I've already said, when we start comparing ourselves with ourselves. We may be not so public the way the Pharisees were, but we can be just as wicked as they are through pride. You have a look in John chapter 8. Again, remember, we're looking at the pride of these Pharisees and how they would compare themselves with others and come up with a conclusion that they were good and everybody else was no good. John chapter 8 and verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they'd set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" And this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his fingers wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." All right, you righteous fellows. You spiritual fellows, if you're without sin, start throwing stones. Now, he didn't get into any great debate or argument, did he? But you can see these Pharisees, here they are in all their pride and all their arrogance. And to have the audacity to drag this woman up in front of everybody. We've said, we found this woman taken in the act of adultery. And my question immediately is, where's the man? How come you've only brought the woman if they were in the act of adultery? Sure, it wasn't one of you guys who deliberately set a trap for her so that you could set up things so you could try and cause the Lord Jesus to stumble? No, we don't know about that, but where's the woman? And the thing about it is, they didn't care about the woman at all, did they? They couldn't care less. They bring it out in the public and publicise it. Have a look at her. Have a look at this woman. Be like this morning. I'd bring some lady in here and say, "This lady here is an adulterer, folks. What do you reckon? Stone her? We ought to deal with her, yes?" Be careful you don't say, "Amen, yes." Say, "Yes, but we better deal with it a little differently the way you're dealing with it, Pastor. That's not good. I mean, that's not a really good way to deal with it." Well, when we start comparing ourselves with ourselves, look out. And that was what was happening here. And so the Lord Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, and we know how it finished up. They heard it, they'd been convicted by their own conscience. All of a sudden, their righteousness is exposed as self-righteousness. And they're exposed as sinners by the Lord Jesus. You know, when you come to the Lord Jesus, when you come to the Word of God, that's always what the Word of God does initially. It exposes, first of all, our sin. God says we've got to deal with sin first, because once we've dealt with sin, then we can get on with things. It's like salvation. You know, I want to go to heaven. Well, you have to deal with your sin problem first of all. You have to acknowledge that by God's standard, you're a wicked failure, you're a wicked sinner, that you've broken every commandment that's in the book, that you've done everything wrong that God would ask you not to do, and you've done everything that God told you not to do, and everything else, you are a wicked sinner. That has to be dealt with first of all. And the only way to deal with that is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that he died in your place on the cross, believing that he was buried, believing that he rose again the third day from the grave. And as you believe on him, the Bible says that we call on his name, we are saved. We have forgiveness of sins. Then we can get on with living for God. So it's always the sin question that has to be dealt with. And that's what the Lord Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees. Now, when they all walked out, the Bible says they all walked out. And so he says, when he lifted himself up in verse 10, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, he didn't say what you're doing was good. We'll just gloss over it and we won't cause too much of a problem. But he did say to her, "You don't do it again. Do not do it again." Now, when there's true repentance, that's the desire in the person's heart as well as the command not to do it. The desire is, "I will not, by God's grace, do that again. I won't do it again." And so the Lord spoke to her. But again, I wonder how often are we like the Pharisees? We compare ourselves with ourselves. We look at some other brother in the Lord or some sister in the Lord, and maybe they're struggling, or maybe they're in sin, or maybe they're backslidden, or whatever it is, but they're not going good. They're not where they could be. They're not where they should be. But I wonder how often we look at them and just write them off as the Pharisees did. So thank God I'm not like them, amen. And I'll pray for them, but you know. Well, that's, I believe, one of the problems that comes when we compare and measure ourselves by ourselves. The danger is spiritual pride. Now let's have a look. How should we deal with this perhaps? In Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Am I a Pharisee or am I a Galatians 6 person? Remember, the Pharisees were proud, arrogant. Spiritually, they were bankrupt. They were paupers spiritually. Notice in verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, then stand back and measure yourself by him, and then come up with the conclusion you thank God you're not like him." Amen? It's not what it says, eh? It's not what it says. It says, "Brethren," Paul's writing to believers. He's writing to the believers in the church at Galatia. He's writing to us today. "Brethren, brothers, sisters, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We are not to be like the Pharisees and publicize it around the world and make ourselves look good and feel good, because I thank God I'm not like them. I'm trying to help them. The Pharisees probably would have argued, "We're just trying to help her." Oh, really? You liars. You weren't trying to help her. You were trying to bring the Lord Jesus down. That's what you were trying to do. You weren't trying to help at all. You had no care for that woman whatsoever. "But brother, sister, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual..." As I've already said, keeping a certain standard does not make me spiritual. The Pharisees had all that. "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I pray in a public way, which is very spiritual. I do all that," and yet they couldn't have been further from the truth spiritually. A certain standard doesn't make a person spiritual. Having said that, the Bible sets out, and I use the word standards because it's a term we understand, the Bible sets out standards for the Christian life very clearly, I believe, in across the board in our lives. But just having my own spiritual standard does not make me spiritual. He said, why do you emphasize that? Because the Bible says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. You say, well, I don't know whether I'm spiritual or not. Well, you're not. If you don't know, you're not. So how could I know whether I'm spiritual or not? Well, have a look in chapter 5 of Galatians. In verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Question. You say, I'm not sure that I'm spiritual. My question to you is this. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? You say, I'm not sure what that means. You better find out. Are you walking in the Spirit? Because if you're walking in the Spirit, then you are spiritual. Because when you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in obedience to the Word of God, and that's what spirituality is all about. And so if you're walking in the Spirit, not only will you not fulfill the lust of the flesh in your own lives, but you'll be able to help others, amen? Ye which are spiritual. You say, I'm not sure that I'm spiritual. Have a look at verse 22, chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Are you spiritual? Is it evident to other people that the fruit of the Spirit is in your life? You say, I'm not sure whether I'm spiritual or not. Ask yourself, love, joy, any peace? How patient are you? How long-suffering are you? Gentle, goodness, faith, meekness. Remember, the Pharisees had none of that. Anything but meek. Temperate, self-control. What did Paul say? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Are you walking in the Spirit? Is the Spirit of God controlling your life? Are you filled with the Spirit? As Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 5, in the commandment of verse 18 in chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The idea is be constantly controlled by the Spirit of God. There's the spiritual person. Now that spiritual person may not look very amazing in a sense, maybe not a public figure, but just gets about serving God, living for God, enjoying their relationship and walk with God, sharing with others where they can. That's spiritual. That's what the Bible wants from all of us. So instead of being a Pharisee, we are to be spiritual. And what are we are to do? Pull that woman taking adultery up on the platform in public? No. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore such a one. It's interesting, the word restore. It comes from the pagan Greeks used it for setting of broken bones. That tells you something, doesn't it? This idea of restoring. I mean, imagine if you were here this morning and you had a broken bone in your arm. Okay? And I walked up to you and said, oh, you got a broken bone, let me help you. And just grabbed it and started pulling it around. Let's see if I can't get it. Got to make sure the cracks all line up because one of these, you know, compound fractures all broken, and I need to try and just, I'll try not to hurt you too much. You know, you'd be going, oh, come on, keep away. Don't come near me. And yet Paul says, if you're spiritual, that's how you'll treat this person, this brother or sister who's been overtaken in a fault. You'll treat them as though they've got a broken bone. You'll treat them very, very carefully. Very carefully. He goes on and says, in the New Testament, it is the term used for mending of the nets of the fishermen in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. He says, this is an appropriate analogy because every believer is a net, a vessel of service used for the drawing of men to the Saviour. If a rip occurs within the net, the fault, then the spiritual brother must serve as a seamstress to sew up the weakened Christian. The person who's struggling, the person who's having difficulty, the person who's kind of getting up and then getting down again and getting up, and they don't seem to be able to get over the hump and really start going on for the Lord. And they're struggling, they're committing sin and all that kind of thing. But undergirding all that they know what they should be doing, they want to be living for God, but they're just struggling. Well, you need to treat them as though you're mending that net. You need to treat them like you're mending a broken bone and restore them. Be very, very careful how you do it. And you which are spiritual, you're the ones to do that. And notice what else Paul says there. Restore such in one how? In the spirit of meekness. The spirit of meekness with an attitude of humility. Not coming to the brother or sister and saying, how can you keep doing that? Why don't you start living for God? There's no meekness there. There's no humility there. It's almost like, I don't do what you do. How about you start living like I live? Why? Because I'm spiritual. I've compared myself with you and I know I'm spiritual and you're not. Because you're just struggling, you're going, it's hopeless. Why don't you read the book and get right with God and get on with it? I mean, that'll work, won't it? Probably the last time you ever see it. Paul says, no, no, no. You need to do it with a spirit of meekness, with a spirit of humility. Not critical, not judgmental. You go with the spirit that says, I am a terrible sinner myself, but for the grace of God, as Paul could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And Paul doesn't finish there, does he? He said, and restore such in one. Do this careful work so that they can get back in the race and live for the Lord. Considering thyself. Considering thyself. You know, when I read that, I think about Matthew chapter 7. When I read that, I think straight away about Matthew chapter 7. What did the Lord Jesus say about judging? This is what this measuring is. I'm judging. I'm more spiritual than them, whatever it is. I'm making judgments. And the Lord said, listen, before you do anything, consider yourself. What do you mean? The Lord said, you're looking at the mote, that little splinter is in your brother's eye, your sister's eye, and yes, they're not living how they ought to, and yes, they are struggling, but what are you doing about it? Get the beam out your own eye first. Get that post out of your eye. Consider yourself. That's part of this whole business of restoring someone. Then having considered yourself and said, Lord, I'm only a sinner. I don't know how you could ever use me, but I want to be obedient to what you've said. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit as best I can, and I believe I'm enjoying a measure of a walk with you. And Lord, I'm going to try and do something about this situation. But Lord, I'm also very, very mindful that I also may be tempted. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Matthew 7 speaks about eye surgery, doesn't it? Get the beam out of your own eye. Paul says, you know, restore. Do that work of mending the broken bone very carefully. Mend the net. Do it properly. It's interesting, again, you read about the Pharisees. Have a look here in verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what the Lord Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said they are constantly putting burdens upon people. Constantly putting burdens upon people. They weren't bearing burdens. They were creating burdens. They were creating difficulties. They were binding them up with all their traditions of men and everything else. There was no liberty there. The Lord says, okay, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Part of this restoration is getting alongside someone. And okay, they have to agree to that, I understand that. But let's assume they agree to it. Get alongside and you bear the burden with them. You say, I'm going to be praying for you. You know, whatever it is, but I'm going to bear the burden with you. You know, we could put it this way, the question, are we burden bearers or burden creators? You know, the Pharisees, they were burden creators. Why? Pride, arrogance. You say, you're making it sound a big thing. It is a big thing. Pride doesn't have to be right out there to be wicked and evil. I mean, just a little bit of pride sitting there. I thank God I'm not like them. Without saying that, maybe without even consciously thinking that, but in our heart there's pride. Bearing one another's burdens. Then he warns again in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Those Pharisees, they were deceiving themselves. They thought they were spiritual. They thought that God really needed them. They thought that they were just helping God. And they were the exact opposite to that. They were a total hindrance to the work of God. Why? Because of their pride. They thought they were something when they were nothing. You know, when immediately we think we're something, we're nothing, then we've fooled ourselves. Well, God's given me these talents and abilities. I'm just going to use them for God. Say that carefully. Say that carefully. God's given us all talents and abilities. But be careful how you say that. Don't think you're something now. Oh, well, you know, I've read 6 chapters a day. I'm something. You're nothing. Why don't you read 20 chapters a day? Well, I'm better than those who only read one. Comparing yourselves with yourselves. You're not wise. Pride. We are to be careful. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, what about you and I? Let's ask a couple of questions and we'll close. This has been something that's been on my heart, and so I want to just to kind of get it off my chest, as it were. The question, what about us? What about you and I? Are we Pharisees or are we spiritual? You say, well, how would you know? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you enjoying the fruit of the Spirit? Is there anybody that you're trying to restore at the moment? There's a brother or sister in the Lord who you know is struggling, and you're doing everything you can by God's grace to see them restored. Is that you and I this morning? It's a challenging thought, isn't it? Are we bearing one another's burdens, or are we creating burdens? Pharisees, they were creating them. They weren't bearing anyone's burdens. They were too full of themselves. They were too proud. Why? How'd they get that way? By comparing or measuring themselves with themselves. I thank God I'm not like those extortioners and adulterers, and especially that publican. Measuring themselves with themselves, they're not wise. May the Lord help us to measure ourselves against Himself. Amen. Measure ourselves against the Lord Jesus. And ask yourself this question before the Lord. Lord, am I a Pharisee? Do I have a pride issue? That maybe I didn't even think it was pride until this morning. And God says to you, you've got a pride problem there. You're not spiritual. You think you are, but you're not. You've got a pride problem. You need to confess that. You need to turn from that. And then you need to walk with the Lord. And then say, Lord, is there someone that needs some restoring? Lord, maybe I could be that restored. Let's pray.